Welcome to 216, a Link to the Past randomizer podcast. I am your host, Fear Agent. Back for episode number 10. Today on the show, we've got Amerith, one of my favorite people of all time. She is so awesome. And I'm glad she agreed to do the show. So we've got a fun conversation with her coming up. Touch on some of the news going on. Main tournament moving on to the finals. We've got Obscure versus Schulzer. Not on the schedule yet. Game 3 just happened between Obscure and Andy. You're able to take Game 3 over Andy. Was MC Boss Shuffle for Game 3. Their go mode was Hookshot. Of course, was in Pendant Turtle Rock on Laser Bridge. Obscure able to get to that first and was able to score the victory there. So we've got GFE versus Andy for the bronze match and Obscure versus Schulzer for the title. Going to have a new winner of the main tournament. So it's going to be exciting to have a new ALTTPR main tournament champion this year. Crazy that we've come to the end of the main tournament. It always feels like it's like wait, and then the tournament lasts forever. And now we're here at the end. So with that ending, we've got a couple other tournaments going on. Cross Keys tournament just started. I am in the Cross Keys tournament. Won my first round against Norsk Matty, which was restreamed on ZSR1. If you want to go back and watch that one. Really good race. Norsk Matty actually was up a little bit early with, I think it was like an early Mirror Moon Pro or something. I can't even remember at this point. I've watched so many Cross Keys races since this tournament started. But ended up forgetting about the back of Skull Woods, which had pod and progression. So I got a little lucky in that race and was able to pull the victory out in that one. A couple other notable wins so far in the tournament. We had Illis over F. Coughlin. Illis, a really strong cross keys runner, but Fred is also really good at the game, just period. So would be surprised if either one of those won. Illis taking that game. Shinmaru over CS Tutor. Another one that would probably, I guess, be considered an upset, as CS Tutor's one of the top ladder racers every season, especially in cross keys, finishing usually in the top like three or five. Two big wins happening that I don't think many people predicted. We had Kaysden over Wall Kicks, and that's not to take anything away from Kaysden. Kaysden's an excellent runner. Wall Kicks is one of the best cross keys runners in ALTTPR, though, so seeing him lose round one is a bit surprising. Kaysden pulling off a bit of an upset there. And then Boo This Man over Dazed Cloud. Not real familiar with Boo This Man, but again, Dazed being one of the best cross keys runners in the game. It's always surprising to see them go down in round one. Would not want to be 0-1 and have the potential of facing someone like Wall Kicks, or wouldn't want to be 0-1 and having to face Wall Kicks or Dazed Cloud. Going to be a tough matchup to get paired against one of those two in round two if you're 0-1. So this is rando, though, and upsets happen. One of the reasons why we love this game. It's exciting to watch all the cross keys matches that are going on right now. Cross keys being basically the only mode that I ever play. Always into watching more and more cross keys. So excited to have this tournament going on. Kaz Boots tournament is just about to start. They announced the groups today. 128 people, I think. Didn't get a chance to watch the reveal stream, but took a quick glance at the groups. So it's groups of four. You'll play your opponent twice, and the top two of the groups will move on to the bracket stage. Group Z has both Bwen and Jim in their group. Maybe number one and two of the entire tournament in the same group. That's scary. If you're in Group Z, you're going to have a tough break there trying to make the brackets with both Bwen and Jim being in the same group. Just filthy. Just filthy. Group AB has Amerith, who's, again, our guest on the show today. Teto, Willard, and Chelsea Lynn. That's a tough group. Don't know who the two are coming out there, but should be a fun group to watch. Group AE has Skelly, Kaysden, Zelga, and Leoria. So another tough group. You know how much of a fan of Zelga I am, so I like his chances coming out of there. But the other three, I mean, only one of them can make it if Zelga is the other one. Kaysden and Leoria being on the same league team, JKLOL, will have to be facing off against each other. That's always fun when you get league teammates having to race. So yeah, 128 runners in that one. Should be interesting. I think they're going to be doing their own restreams. They might even be on speed gaming as well. So should be able to catch some of those Kaz Boots tournament races coming up. I've been doing my own restreams on my own channel. I'm actually having so much fun doing restreams. I've been restreaming mostly the Cross Keys tournament. I did the Gamma TWW match. That was a lot of fun to watch. Did the Radical Sniper versus Dr. Earworm match. That was a lot of fun. And then restreamed Andy versus Nobly. All these being the Cross Keys tournament. So come hang out, putting those events in the Discord over on the 216 Discord. So go ahead, join 216 Discord. You get the link at 216pod.com. We're having fun over there. I also have an open door policy for restreams. So if you see me in the booth doing a restream and there's no one else there, just join the green room and I'll pull you in and we could... You'd have some fun. The only requirement to join the booth is just don't be an asshole. If you could do that, join me, comment some matches. Having a lot of fun with the restreams. Big shout out to today's guest, Amarith, who set me up and taught me how to do the restreaming and make it as professional as I can, because she does such an awesome job with the league restreams. I think she even does the Go Mode Mentor tournament restreams as well. I think she might be in charge of that stuff. So yeah, today's guest is Amarith. Amarith and I go back a ways. She came on as the restream mod back in season 3 and eventually became a league admin. And we get into all of that. We talk about her time with the council and her approach to the game. And it's just a really fun conversation. I love Amarith. And she always just is open and available and kind. And I mean, I could say so many good things about Amarith and try to make her blush because she's such an awesome person and she keeps her cool, at least in public. And yeah, I know she's a meme lord, but she's just great. And so we have a really fun conversation. So yeah, enough of me yapping. Let's get to it. So I'm going to start a little bit with flattery because I've known you for a while now. I brought you on as an admin to the league. You were a mod. I believe you got started by helping with the league restreams. That's kind of like your step into the door of the league and then our friendship from there. But I have to say, you are... like the nicest, coolest person that I know. So that's where I want to start this podcast. You, Amarith, are awesome because you do so much work that is unseen. And I have so much appreciation for people like you and people like Sigma, people like Drossi, who do a lot of work and don't get all the recognition that I feel like they deserve. Like, you've done so much for the league. So I am super excited to do this podcast with you today.
Well, I'm glad that you would be willing to have me, because it's also I suffer from one of those things where it's just like, I don't feel like I'm doing enough. Like, I gotta be, I got crazy. This and that still to do. Like, oh, yeah. I'm not keeping up with these other people that are doing like this other tournament stuff. Oh man, like, I need to be making sure I'm doing more. So it's like, it's always that just constant balance of like, yes, I know I need to always need to step back. It's like, yes, I know I'm doing a lot. I'm taking care of all this stuff. And it's just like, right, I do a lot of things.
You do so many things. And like I said, it goes unnoticed by so many people. So I'm hoping to bring at least some attention and notoriety to you, because not only do you do all this work behind the scenes, but like literally like the nicest person that I know in this community. You're just like so genuinely nice. And I mean that in the best way, because nice can be kind of like one of those. I actually hate telling people that they sound that they are nice, because it almost feels like a compliment that's not really a compliment, but in this case it is 100% true. You are just your like demeanor and the way you handle things is just pretty awesome. So
I will do my best to not put on the humble hat and just take the compliment as what it is, because I'm one of those people that's like, oh no, it's no problem at all. Like,
yeah, if it is, I would have never known. And that's kind of another one reason that I'm glad we get a chat, is because I feel like we've done a lot of chatting in the past, but I feel like I don't really know you like super well. Like, I don't know how you got started playing Randomizer. I don't know what brought you into this community. So,
like, you know me on the professional level, not the like more intimate, like where Marith's roots are.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what I want to find out is what makes a Marith a Marith. And yeah, so where did you find ALTTPR?
The funny thing is that, like, I know a lot of people get in through, like, watching GDQ or, like, you know, just finding it one day, finding a popular streamer like Andy or Dante or someone who was streaming a lot, like, back a while ago and, like, oh, hey, there's this randomizer thing and really getting into it. Mine was a little weird. I remember seeing it occasionally, like, once or twice at, like, a GDQ, but never really, like, thinking much of it. It was like, oh, this weird randomizer thing. All these people are trying to come up with crazy ways to play these old games. That'd never be interesting. And as a backstory on this, around that time, I was just starting up and just like maybe a year into doing a Let's Play channel with my current housemate. And, you know, we were always looking for games to play as like whatever to, you know, shoot the shit to in the background. It's like, I was reading an article at work that was like, oh, well, now there's this randomizer thing that's this combo of Super Metroid and Link to the Past.
Oh,
I was like,
wow.
That sounds really fucking cool because, like, I had never heard of the process, by the way. So, also, sorry if I need to limit swearing at all. I'm trying
no,
to,
swear
do I need to not do that?
No, okay. Bring all the fucks and the shits and bring them all in.
Because I was just like, I'm keeping this like kind of casual, and it's just like, oh wait, should I not be swearing? Hang on,
I want it all.
All right, you got it. So I was just reading through, and I was like, man, that sounds really interesting. So I was just playing. I decided to get into it, download one day, looked at it. John, my roommate, had come in while I was playing. I was just in the Super Metroid portion. He was like, why are you playing Super Metroid? Like, I know you've only played it like once or twice because I hadn't really played Super Metroid growing up, but it was a really interesting game that I found a lot of, you know, interest in, speed running, all that. And then when I switched the screen to go to, you know, Link to the Past, Zelda 3, it blew his mind. I was like just having a blast with it. I had fun with that seed. It took me like, I think, 15 hours to complete.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then I was just like, I was playing the combo for a while, and then after like a week or two, I was like, you know what I should probably do is I should just focus on one game at a time. Like, I'll focus on the Link to the Past one because I know I can do that easy. I'm really bad at Super Metroid.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll focus on Link to the Past for a while, and then I'll switch to Super Metroid, and then I'll just be really good at both, and it'll be really awesome. And then my usual thing happened where that second part never happened, and we just kind of stayed in the Link to the Past sort of realm and just kept going from there.
Have you played through Super Metroid? Because that's, even though I've played a ton of retro games and I grew up on all this stuff, the Super Metroid games I've actually never completed. I started it on stream one time and just never went back to it.
My very first playthrough of Super Metroid was, I think, like from start to finish, was I think about like 4 or 5 years ago now. Like, it was very like recent, and as far as like recent times go compared to how old I am, which is, you know, about like, you know, I'm in my 30s, I'll say. Well, I was a 90s kid.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I hadn't touched the game, and I never really got into it just because I didn't really have that many Super Nintendo games growing up. I always joke with everyone that was like, oh, well, I had two Super Nintendo games growing up. I had the packing game, Super Mario World, and Championship Pool that the computer literally cheated at.
That's so funny. So you were doing Let's Plays before you got into Randomizer. Were you already familiar with Twitch and kind of the Let's Play thing? Because I didn't learn about Let's Plays because I am an old curmudgeon. I am older than 30. And, you know, I didn't know that Let's Plays, honestly, I was super late to YouTube in general. Like, I wasn't watching a lot of YouTube. So what were you doing Let's Plays and Twitch before you got into Rando?
Yeah, we were doing Let's Plays on mostly YouTube. We had the intent to, you know, do occasional like Twitch stuff and all that. And we were familiar with the Twitch platform because going back a long, long time ago now, we used to watch like Day 9 doing like StarCraft and like the weekly like shenanigans and stuff that he would do, like the user submitted like matches and one of our favorite user things was always like the Nukes and Seuss thing that occasionally made a reround where anytime you dropped a nuke, you'd have to do a Dr. Seuss rhyme and... it sounds silly, but it was entertaining to us at least. So. Yeah,
for sure. So were you were what about online gaming? What games were you playing before you got into retro stuff? Or were you always, was it just like an evolution, or were you doing retro stuff already? Or were you?
It was kind of an evolution. Like, I did a lot of, like, I was always one of those people. I was like, oh, I'm always playing like the newest, like weirdest, like whatever game that's out. Like, oh, Dark Souls 3 came out, let's get on that. Oh, we're really big into Overwatch and Hearthstone now. Like,
So you're kind of switching back and forth between what
playing like this popular game now, and then, oh, now this game's a little more popular, let's try that one out. So it was really kind of like a follow what everyone else is kind of doing, and not like a, oh, hey, I kind of have settled on this game that I really like.
Uh-huh. Okay, so what games were you playing on the Let's Play thing? Did you have like a dedicated game that you were trying to, like, because a lot of Let's Plays are kind of like how to 100% Link to the Past or whatever.
We're doing a lot of like variety stuff. We've currently on pause on it just because everything got screwed up. So when we had to do a move recently, and our recording like area got, you know, torn down, and we're still trying to build it back up. But like, we would basically do variety. Like, it would do like, be like maybe every week and a half or so, we'd be on a new series, switching it up every couple of days between like, oh, well, now we're playing Super Metroid, now we're playing Pokemon Snap, now we're playing Link to the Past. Like, now we're like, we would jump between like a bunch of old games. It would never really be a lot of like newer games. Like, occasionally it'd be like, it was fun having John struggle through his very first playthrough of Dark Souls. That was very entertaining. Because he had never even played any sort of game like that, with like the dodging mechanics and stuff. And getting to have someone enjoy that for the first time is, it's really a unique treat. Like, if you've enjoyed a Souls game and you can get someone to play it for the first time, it is just wonderment watching them just struggle and get frustrated at that game.
Yeah. I'm so unfamiliar with Dark Souls. Like, my gaming knowledge, despite being fully committed to Link to the Past randomizer in the last few years, my game knowledge is so limited to like Zelda and Mario and stuff. Like, I just kind of have these blinders on. So I know Dark Souls, but I've never actually played it. Elden Ring is part of the Dark Souls series, or made by the people that did Dark Souls. Is that correct?
Yeah. I don't know 100% about it, cause I haven't like researched it, but yeah, it's made, I believe, by like the same company, or otherwise it's a successor, but it's in that very same like playstyle game at the very least.
So you guys aren't jumping into the Elden Ring playthroughs?
I haven't touched it yet. I haven't had the time to really get into one of those games right now. Like, life's been a little bit tight on like, oh, well, let's get this game now. Because like I said, we had that move, and that's kind of screwed some things up a little bit. But like, no, it's still a game that I'm looking at. It's like, I kind of want to pick it up eventually. Maybe once it goes on like a sale or something, I'll grab it.
Sure. So you said that you had Super Nintendo, but you had only Super Mario World, which of course came with the console. And what was the pool game you said?
Yeah, it was Championship Pool. That was the Super Nintendo we had. We were much more a Genesis household, actually.
Oh, okay. I see. So were you playing Link to the Past back in the day, or was that a game that you picked up recently?
I never played Link to the Past until I got, I think, the GBA port. Back in, what was it, like the early 2000s, whatever it was. Like,
yeah.
And I played it once, start to finish, and then never touched it again. And that was my whole experience with it. And then...
Wow. Okay.
Like,
it's so much different than everyone else that I've talked to, where it's like, we grew up playing this game, and that's kind of what brought us to this. Instead, you were playing Sega games, huh?
Sega games, and we were kind of a weird household, especially once we got into like the, me being like the teenager kind of phase of the household. Because what we would do is, we actually, this is a very strange, it's gonna sound very strange, but it's one of those weird family dynamic things. Our set of family, which is me, my dad, brother and sister, and two step sisters and my stepmother, as well as my aunt, uncle, and their two kids, got really
all under one household.
Not necessarily all in, well, under one household, but like we would all be doing this. We actually got into playing Pac-Man competitively, believe it or not.
like arcade Pac-Man? Which version
like
of Pac-Man
are we talking? Pac-Man, like Miss Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man. We constantly call each other like, you know, hey, this is the current top score. So-and-so got the top score. And like everyone's like back and forth trying to beat whoever was playing last. And we were getting pretty crazy with it. It's kind of a weird.
That is like strange, but it is super awesome. Yeah.
Like it's one of those things you don't really think of like families doing or getting into something crazy like that as an entire family. But like that, I thought that was probably one of the coolest things I had growing up when we were doing stuff like that.
Yeah, that does sound cool. That's hilarious. So you're playing competitive Pac-Man. I'm guessing you're playing on Genesis and some of the other consoles then?
Not even. This is the kicker part is you know those crummy like bought it at Walmart. This is like arcade joystick has the plugs
right,
into the,
you just plug
the
TV. Yeah,
it was those.
Oh wow, that is amazing. That is amazing. Yeah. So you kind of have this very broad sense of video games. So you didn't grow up a Zelda kid then, or a Mario kid then. You were playing all the other things. When did you ever like fully get into it?
Mm-hmm. Not until I got a little bit older, like, because it wasn't until, like, I wouldn't say my first Zelda game was really Ocarina of Time and Mario 64 for Mario. Well, aside from, you know, the other Mario games on, like, the original NES, but.
Sure.
Those are those. But, like, yeah, it was really, like, once the 3D sort of came around, like, that's where I started getting into Zelda. And was like, oh, man, Majora's Mask was so good. Ocarina of Time. Nostalgia glasses are on hardcore for it, but man, that's a terribly, terrible, terrible game now.
Oh my gosh. I just started replaying all the Zelda games with my friend. We're on Majora's Mask right now, and I just finished Ocarina of Time. And I was like, as I got done with it, I was like, I don't know how much I really like this game, to be honest.
Like, it's a good game at the time. It's a very good, like, if you look at it from the perspective of this was the very first 3D Zelda game, and they had no idea what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it works. It's good. It builds a good foundation.
Yeah,
and then Majora's Mask just took that and just like was like, let's make this 100 times better.
Yeah. The controls are definitely improved because I'm playing on the Switch, but I'm playing with the Switch 64 controller.
Yeah.
And the controls for Ocarina of Time are really rough, especially the targeting. But it does take a pretty big leap with Majora's Mask, which is nice.
Another weird thing about Ocarina of Time, though, was just like how it's so suited to how weird the Nintendo 64 controller was. Like,
yes,
you almost have to have one to play it like in the right feel.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Totally, because I was started on the Switch Pro controller and it was awful.
I can imagine.
It was awful playing Ocarina of Time with a Switch controller, especially because on the Switch you can't remap the buttons, so you're just stuck with what they give you, and it was awful.
Just here you go.
Yeah, the 64 controller definitely improved the experience for sure. So you start getting into 3D Zelda and the 64 stuff. Do you become more of a Nintendo fan, or are you still kind of branching out into other games?
It's kind of like all over the place, but like Nintendo is definitely a big part of it. Like whenever a Zelda game would come out, it'd be like, yeah, let's go get that Zelda game, except for that Wind Waker one, because, oh my God, those graphics look super weird. But like, yeah, that was another one, was Wind Waker took a little bit of getting into. It was only because of the graphics that those just like so weird
game,
to me.
Though.
It is like after the fact, it's like I don't know why I had such like disdain for the graphics of that game, because it's a really good game. The graphics are actually pretty good. It was just like
such a
change from like every other Zelda game I looked at, and I was just like, no, this is not my Zelda's. The Link that I'm used to is like this big like. Sort of like intimidating, scary, like it's all this like dark stuff like Majora's Mask and stuff like that. It's like, now it's this weird like colorful stuff like Nintendo, what are you doing?
Right. Yeah, I know the Wind Waker reaction. I remember when it came out and people were just like, ugh, I never had a problem with that. I always thought variety is the spice of life, I guess, with it. So I thought it was cool.
Yeah. I was also a stupid teenager when that came out.
Sure. I actually purchased it for my GameCube, and I never played it. I never actually played it on GameCube, which is crazy. Because it came out, like, I want to say around the time in my early 20s or so, and I was just, like, busy with other stuff, and I wasn't playing a lot of video games. So I never really got a chance to play it. But I did end up going back and playing an emulator, and I actually have it now on the Wii U, the HD port, too, so...
Yeah, the HD port's actually really nice and solves a lot of, like, weird little things that had that were problems in that game. But overall, it was still a really good game.
Mm-hmm. So gaming was a big part of your life as you were growing up then?
Yeah, pretty much. Because, like, I had a lot of weird home stuff. And it was always one of those, like, big escapes. Because when it was wasn't like, oh, hey, you know, you're not allowed to do the fun activities that you normally do or would want to do. Because, you know... we're going to make you do sports and stuff, even though you've shown that you clearly don't like sports.
Yeah, totally. So you find SMZ3, and that leads you into Rando. What was your transition then into the ALTTPR community? Was it through the Go Mode podcast? Was it through the mentor tournament? Or was that even before then?
I'm trying to remember because I was like, I played... very casually for a while, playing like seeds here and there. I remember there was the main tournament, like I think it was the one after the Super Crazy Swiss one. I think it was the 2019 tournament. Was one of the first ones that I gotten actually into, aside from doing the first Go Mode mentor tournament. That feels like 7,000 years ago now because of all COVID and everything. It's like, I don't remember how that all even lined up. Like,
I know.
I don't remember if mentor tournament was first or the main tournament was first, but.
Yeah. 2020 just ruins like how you
everything.
Distinguish time for sure. So you start playing and then you start getting into the community, and it feels like, at that point, for me, you just kind of were everywhere. I saw you, like, when you joined the league in Season 2, is that right?
Yeah, I joined with a couple people that I'd known. Oro, one of my really good friends that puts up with my crap a lot. And one of our friends, Jim, was also from sort of the same circles. And, you know, that first year, I was just like, let's just play for fun. This league thing sounds like a cool thing. Let's get into it. A lot of silly modes and cool modes in there that we like, let's just screw around and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I connect you so much to Oro because you and Oro were around, you both came up around the same time and were on the same team, and you guys kind of teamed up on everything for a while, and are both awesome people to go along with that. So how did you meet Oro? Through
the mentor tournament, actually, because we had both entered. Oro actually got knocked out, I believe, really early in the very first mentor tournament, which was really kind of sad because just the way that the mentor tournament was structured back then, it was like it wasn't like now where you do like the 6 weeks of Swiss and like you have mentors all throughout. It was it's like GSL brackets at first. So it was like, if you lost like the first week or two, you're done. And it was like, man, they didn't really even get that much.
Yeah. It's definitely changed for the better where you actually get a chance to be mentored and learn the game.
Yeah. So we had hung out a little bit doing like casual races with the GMP crowd. Cause like that sort of created like its own little clique like for a while. And you know how the cliques come and go. So it was like that was playing for a bit. So we were always in that. And then everything sort of breaks off into every other sort of subgroup that's been going on lately. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, when the community continues to grow and grow, it's easy for people to sort of break off and find people that they have like similar interests in and stuff. So that's totally understandable. You came on as a mod, I believe, in Season 2 as well, or was that Season 3?
In Season 3 of League, because Season 2... was around the time that I was just learning how to restream. I was taught by, if you remember him, Vash. I can't remember the rest of his username. But he was, he was really big about helping a lot of like restream stuff between like GMP, Plando, LTTP randomizer channel. Like he was pretty up there. Like, and he still floats around every once in a while. I catch him every once in a while in the occasional stream here and there. And I'm like, oh, hey, how you been? And he's just like, you know, he was a really cool guy. He taught me everything I knew about restreaming. And then I guess I impressed you guys enough with the amount of restreaming that I was doing and stuff like that in season two that you guys asked me to come help with season three to do mod stuff when the position opened. So like, yeah, let's jump on that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Marty, who is our restream lead in seasons one and two, left. And I remember asking you to take over for it. And what you've done there and continue to do is super impressive because you've built up a really cool team there and put on a lot of like excellent restreams for the league that as the person that started the league and was running it for the first four seasons was so, I was so happy with all the stuff that you were doing because it was so beyond my scope. Like restreaming is just not in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing with restreaming though was like between everything that I know and learned about doing restreaming and then having Oro and Sigma come on and just help build the league restream package that we had.
Oh, right.
That just streamlined the whole process for season four was just absolutely amazing. And just shout outs to those two like so much on that to make it to the point where you could just train a new restreamer to do league restreaming in about like 15 minutes and basically tell them just like, here, all you do is you load this up, you put in your passcode, you tell it, hey, it's this thing on the speed gaming schedule, and it loads everything in, and the only thing you have to do is crop and border everything. And it's just like, wow, that's super simple.
Yeah, it's super impressive. So you then also get involved with everything because not only are you a mod and eventual admin of the league, but you're also on the council, and I believe, are you still on the council?
Currently, yes. And currently,
are you still leader as well?
Yes, currently leader with Dante and Buane.
Okay, and this is, I think, your second or third term of that, right?
Yes. This is council session, I think, six. And I've been on for, I think, three or four.
So what made you want to get involved in that sort of aspect of this community?
A lot of it was just like the, you know, sort of just being a, like I saw the kind of people that were like in the council for the most part and took it kind of as like a, hey, you know, I kind of want to join as like a, originally like the hey, this is from the perspective of someone that's like a restreamer and trying to do a lot of volunteer stuff, but is also, you know, actively a player and maybe not like the highest up their player, but like, you know, still knows their way around the game and isn't just like, you know, floundering through seeds left and right.
Right.
Like I'd wager to say that I'm good now when I cannot, you know, shoot myself in the foot, but I'm still not up there with like the crazy, like top tier people, like, you know, your Andy's, Dante's, your tournament winners, Gamma, you yourself. Like I can't quite match you guys just yet, but I'll maybe get there.
Mm-hmm. I believe so. Yeah. So you joining the council was trying to get your input into the racing. Gosh, it's the council is such a strange thing to me because I was a member of it when it first started, and it was kind of like the Wild West when we started it because we didn't really know what was going on and we didn't really know exactly what we were doing. And then P-Train came on and helped develop like all the laws and the rules and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the bylaws and all that.
Mm-hmm. And it's I don't know. It's a weird aspect. Like it's a necessary evil, I guess, but it's also one that I'm like, it's not, doesn't even feel like it's as active as it used to be because we're not finding new glitches and things like that. And I'm not even sure what you guys are doing behind the scenes right now.
It's but, nice when the council is quiet. I'll say that at least it's like, you know, there's always stuff like going on in the background. There's always like little discussions here and there, but it's like, as long as it's not like there's 1700 people cheating or we got like, oh man, Yuzuhara found another glitch with Samari. It's like, oh, right. Geez, great. Now how are we going to classify this one?
So did you have a goal in joining the council? Was there a specific thing?
It was kind of like to be sort of like, because at the time I was still a fairly newer player in my opinion. I was like, I want to kind of be like that voice to the newer player, like the, hey, you know, I'm still like just joining, like I'm still trying to like get into tournaments in general. These are the kinds of things that I'd like to see happen with like the rules when they were doing the glitch review and stuff like that. So it was really kind of like a get that newer player kind of perspective when I initially joined.
Yeah. But now you don't have it. I mean, you've been a part of the community for years and years and years now. Do you have a different goal, or is it just kind of remained the same as a not only a member of the council?
My goal now is to be a voice for all the crotchety old people that are just like completely fed up with the game and and just like, man, I'm never going to be good at this. And
right.
Why do they keep allowing all these new glitches?
Yeah. So what is that voice? What is the voice there say for those crotchety people that don't like new glitches and don't want things to change? And, you know,
haven't had one come up in a bit, but like it's always like, at least for me, at my stance on when like the glitch stuff comes up and stuff and things like that for Castle is always like, I see a lot of like usually one side of the argument for a glitch or for coming down on an argument on something, and it's just like generally I'll try to just take the opposite side and just see like, hey, you know, what about it from this perspective? Like,
sure.
I to use the example of just like, you know, a cheating allegation, for example, like, oh man, this guy's clearly like doing all this weird cheating stuff. It's like, well, what if he's not? What if like this is their mindset while they're doing this what seems to be strange routing, like out of like, Because context a lot and looking at things like cheating really kind of matters.
Yeah.
So
cheating is so hard catching it because of that, right? Like we don't have access to everything that they have. So you can never definitively prove that someone cheated unless they admit it, right?
Yeah, because it's like you don't know what they have on their screens that they're not showing on stream. You don't know what they're thinking. You don't know what they might be saying, like, you know, externally that's not to their stream. You don't know what they're looking at. Like they might actually be stream sniping. Anybody could be stream sniping. Like cheating is like one of the easiest things to do. It's just like it's just eventually you're going to screw up and get caught. So
yeah,
it's a matter of on what. So it never really pays to actually cheat. So please don't cheat. Don't make my life harder.
That's the thing. It just makes life worse for everyone else, especially on the people on the council. Yeah, you kind of dogged yourself a little bit as talking about your play skills. You almost qualified for the main tournament this year, right?
Yeah, I was reviewing through like all my qualifiers that I had played, and I was like, man, if I hadn't like screwed up so executionally on this one run, I would have been in. I'm just like, man, my biggest problem is like, I know I'm good. I'm very good at this game. My only problem is that I just shoot myself in the foot and either I choke on execution or it's just like I will just blow it completely on routing. And it's like I got to like find that, figure out like whatever it is, that like groove that really gets me going good. And it's just like I can just absolutely nail it. And just I wish I could do that every single time. So my biggest problem is just like consistency, really.
Yeah. Do you have an approach to seeds? Because I know there's like the clown routers and then there's the skippers and there's the full clearers. Everyone's got kind of a different approach when they play this game. What's your approach when you load up a seed?
Somewhat conventional, a bit conservative, but also mix in a good hefty amount of clown routing and just never not punished in the very first 30 minutes. Because one of my biggest jokes that I'll do that everyone in like my community circles are familiar with is always like, oh well, you know, if Merit doesn't find all the required items to be the seed by 30 minutes, that's it, we're not gonna win. But like the amount of times, like if you look at my first 30 minutes of every game, it's like, oh my god, this is so strong, like you're going so crazy well, like you decided, oh well, I'm just gonna skip CAC for a little bit on this particular seed, even though it's such a weird option. It's like, oh hey, we found the bottle and the flute and then we went to CAC and got this, and it's just like everything just sort of piles on in the first 30 minutes. Like, okay, we're coming up on about 5 minutes left. We got 5 minutes to find the fire rod, Samaria, and a glove.
Oh man, that's the way to do it, I guess. So your current league team, our last season's league team, was it? That was Zelda and Chill, right?
Yes, Zelda and Chill with myself, Oro, and Darity had replaced our friend Jim, who he just got very busy this past couple of years between like work and real life, and it's just like, man, he couldn't really compete, and that's unfortunate. So we joked, it was like, oh well, you'll just be our cheerleader this year, and if you want to come back next year, you know, if you have time, we'll have you. But we also have Darity, and she's an amazing player. I really adore her. Like I have not seen anyone do TR laser skips like her until I saw her do them. And I was like, how do you do them so fast, bootsless? Like, it literally looks like she just walks up to the laser, just like runs on through, and just like no stopping. I'm like, yeah. How do you time that?
Yeah, yeah. Did you guys qualify for the Invitational?
We just missed it. We played against JKLOL in the definitive match set, the one where it was like whoever won this would get the Invitational. So we were like just under, and we went, I believe it was 1-3 versus them.
Man, so close, just right there. But shoot, you might even still get, I feel like you guys are right on that cusp of making
the Invitational. If the admin team really likes us this year.
let's talk a little bit more about League, because you are one of the four admins on the League. I no longer am. So for the first time, I have no idea what's going on. What is season 5 going to look like for the League? Have things started to flesh out?
We've already started talking about like the development of League, and I have no idea when this particular episode is going to go up. So I'm trying not to say anything too super spoilerish, but like we've already got a good handle on how we want to see like the playoff structure go, what modes we want to see for the main season, and a bunch of back end stuff that Sigma's always working on, because when isn't Sigma working on something for the League?
Right. Yeah. Totally.
So, but like, yeah, everything's sort of like getting into a swing of things, just constantly thinking like, oh, well, do we want to make this minor change? How do we want to handle this year based on the feedback from last year? Because some of the feedback from last year was just like, that we got, that we really kind of want to pay attention to, was the variety of modes in playoffs was a little bit of an issue, at least for games like 1 and 2. Like everyone seemed to love like the game 3 and 4 thing was pretty good. Game 5, everyone that got to game 5 had a blast and was just like, man, I wish we could have had this more often.
Yeah.
Which was the co-op retrans.
Yeah.
And such a fun mode. Like, I'm glad that so many people actually really liked that.
Yeah, that was such a contentious point, right? Like, when we announced that mode, people were like, I don't want to do that. But it's super fun to play. Like, I think it's one of the best.
Once you actually get to it, yeah.
Yeah, once you play it, it's actually a lot of fun. I think the problem was no one had played it. So it was that new thing fear. Yeah, people don't like it. The curmudgeons didn't like us introducing something new.
I think they got this weird new mode now. Oh, what are they doing?
the ladder, right? The ladder has Ambrosia. Was it called
something Ambrosia like that? 1A. That's like some weird spin-off one mode, Zelda Retro. 1. It's like, I don't know how I feel about that. I still want to play like 1 or 2. I haven't hopped into it just yet, but I'm like, it's a little weird of a mode. I'm not sure if it's for me.
What are your feelings on the community overall, the Link to the Past randomizer community? What do you think of it now, and where do you think it's going in the future? Are we growing? Are we shrinking? Is it, I don't know. Tell me what are your thoughts on the community?
In general, I think it's still growing. Like, it's growing a lot faster than even I think it's growing, because for the mentor tournament, we were trying to project like how many people would be applying this year, because this is like at the time of this recording, we just finished like the cutoff for applicants and stuff. Not to date the episode or anything, but I was dead certain that we weren't even going to have about half the signups like within the first couple of days that signups were open. But it was like we were well past half after like the second day, and I was like, oh no, this is going to go terribly.
That's hilarious. Like, I had no idea. Are there new people playing? And apparently there's quite a few.
Plenty of new people. We got a lot of like fairly green people this year, and I'm looking through like the async times and stuff that we have and anything that they have on record. I'm like, man, these people are really new. How do we have so many new people still coming into this community? I was just like, this is actually kind of impressive. I did not expect this kind of growth to continue after COVID had happened, because I thought COVID was going to be like our biggest like growth period, because everyone was home, working from home, not doing anything, and watching like YouTube and Twitch constantly, and constantly getting moved into, hey, what's this randomizer thing, and getting into it. That was like, yeah, that seemed like the biggest growth period, but no, it just still has not stopped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super cool to see. So you're actually, are you an admin for the Mentor Tournament as well?
Yes, I'm an admin for the Mentor Tournament. I'm admin for League. I'm on the council leader. I got fingers in like every pie. So
you sure do. How do you manage all of this? How do you play the game? I guess that's the answer, right? You don't. You have to somehow, because I know you still race, and you have your finger in every all of these different pies. And for me, that's kind of where my burnout came from, is just trying to do too much. Do you worry about burnout? Do you worry about
adding too many things? I'm definitely worried about it. I'm looking to maybe cut down on things, but it's also one of those problems at the same time that it's like, oh, well, there's these other things spinning up. It was like, I kind of want to help out with, or like, I want to see happen. Cause like, I remember talking to someone about a tournament that skipped like the last year. I was just like, you maybe want to get a tournament together for that this year. I'll help you. And I was just like, no, you've already got too many things on your damn plate. Yeah. We're trying to drop things, not add things.
Yeah. Totally. One thing I like to ask my guests is talking about tilt, and how do you deal with tilt? How do you remain positive and not let the game wear you down when you don't have a 80% winning streak like or win streak like someone like Gamachu or Zelga Desan or someone who Airy, who's, you know, wins 8 out of 10 races? How do you Amareth, I need help. this is the thing I need the most help with. Like, tell myself on stream when I'm racing, and I haven't raced in over a month, you know, it doesn't matter if you win or lose. It doesn't matter if you win or lose. It doesn't matter if you win or lose. And I, you know, I try to tell myself that, and I try to believe it, but it.
How do you just get through that feeling? Yeah, like there's sort of like the long aspect and the short aspect of it. And I think I feel like I've got a good handle on the long term aspect of tilt, but I definitely have problems with the short term. So, example, like, I've never had a really great super like win rate. Like, you look at me on ladder, I'm like, I haven't been above 50% since season 2, and that was like 1,000 years ago. That was like literally my worst season. I think I went like 5 and like 30 or something absolutely just horrid, like, and just have not recovered since. And just the constantly like, oh man, I should be doing better than this. Oh man, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, you always just got to take a step back and just look at like your overall play over the long period of time. It's just like, yeah, you know, I am actually pretty good at this game. I've beaten P-Train two out of three times, and, well, made many pretty funny jokes about that. And like, just sort of like taking in the big picture. It's like, yeah, like, I have all these victories under my belt that prove that I know what I'm doing, that I can play. So, you know, this long-term tilt is like, oh, that's not really anything. Like, I know I'm a good player. I just need to focus on my short end. That'll get things better. But the short-term tilt, like the immediate, like, in the moment, like losses, like tournament losses, are always absolutely terrible for me. Yeah. I am, you know how some people get really super salty, and they will just like go crazy and just like say whatever. Yeah. Like, I at least got myself down to a point, because I would be that kind of person. Like, if I wasn't as together as I was now, like if you put me back in my shoes like 10 years ago, I definitely would have been that kind of person that like outbursty, like, man, F this game, this stupid location, doing, this game sucks. It was just like, a lot of it is to step down, like, you know, talk to your opponent like a human, like, you know, hey, good game. You know, I apparently didn't play the strongest. But I do also tell them, it's like, I'm a little upset at this loss, and I'm going to try to not, you know, be terrible about it and be a bad person about it, but I'm just letting you know that I'm just not necessarily okay right now. And being able to sort of air that out is just like, I think, a decent thing to at least have with your opponent, because you're like at least being straight with them, like, hey, you know, I'm really glad you won, but also, like, you know, I'm very clearly frustrated and I'm not going to be the most chatty person in the world when we try to, like, be super friendly at the end of the match. Because everyone wants to, like, oh man, I want to talk about this seed, like, oh man, how did you do this and this? And it's just like, there are some matches though where you're just like, I really don't want to talk about this. I don't want to do anything about it. If you talk to me, I'm going to rip your head off. Like, it's just like, when you're getting those moments, it's just like, I'd rather try to let my opponent know. And that sort of makes me feel a little bit better, because then it's like, they know, oh, you're not like being an ass. You're just in a really bad mood, obviously, because of the loss. And you're just trying to, you know, soften the blow of, hey, I'm trying to not be a bad sport about this.
Yeah.
Even though it's really bringing me down right now.
Yeah. I think the thing I have going for me the most is I'm quick to apologize, because there's times where I say things and I'm just like, you know, I'll walk away from Discord or whatever and then go back and realize, oh, I shouldn't have said that and apologize. Because, it's, you know, like, it's so hard. You want to, for me at least, when I get angry at myself more than I get angry at my opponent. But just because I get angry with myself doesn't mean I don't take it out on my opponent.
Yeah, same thing as sort of like what I was saying.
Yeah. So balancing that and trying to understand that and trying to manage that, I think that might be the goal of this entire podcast, is have everyone tell me how to manage my own tilt, which I, you know, something that I've got to figure out on my own. But I always find it interesting because some people handle it really well. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen you on stream get tilted or hear you get tilted I opened our conversation with talking about how nice you are, because you always are nice, even in defeat, I feel like. So I'm actually a little surprised.
Is that I'm glad that we have the 10, 15, 20 minute stream delays during tournaments and stuff like that, because that really, actually, I feel, kind of gives you that time to just sort of recompose yourself, get ready to do an interview, or decline the interview if you really think you're in that bad. Like, that's, you know, why you can say, you know, hey, I don't feel like doing an interview right now. I'm really not feeling it. So,
yeah,
like, really take those more seriously for some people that actually need it. Is like, you know, if you can't talk about the situation afterwards, it's like, then don't, like, just stop, like, get away from it. Like, use that couple minutes after the race rather than chatting up with your opponent, tell them, hey, you know, I'll be back to you in a minute. I need to go calm down, like, get up, go get some water, go to the bathroom, like, just step away from the moment and just recompose yourself. So that way, you know, you're a little bit more yourself when you come back for doing an interview.
Mm-hmm.
Because all those feelings just, like, come at you, like, at the very end of the race, like, when you win or lose. So it's like, all that really in the moment stuff.
Yeah. That's the hard part, is not reacting in the moment. And, you know, it's something I hope to better myself in totally. How long do you see yourself being a part of this community? Do you see it like it? If you play the game less, do you feel like you'll still stick around, or do you feel like, to stick around, you got to play the game, or what are your thoughts there?
It's really hard to kind of say. Like, eventually I'm probably going to have an exit at some point, right? Like, can't just play this, you know, forever. Like, well, maybe, but who knows? But, like, probably eventually stop, move on to other things, and slowly just sort of wane out of it. But, like, as long as I want to be helping at least manage, like, still playing occasionally, like, it's sort of going to be at least a little bit of both, if anything, like, just scaled up or down depending on how much, you know, free time I have.
Yeah, it's hard to leave this community because there's a lot of excellent, great people that I consider friends, and I'm definitely glad to count you as one of my friends here. So
I'm very thankful that you consider me one of your really good friends. I really enjoy having you as one of my really close friends too. So
it's awesome. Yeah. I think we covered it all. You good?
I think I'm good. I can't really think of too much else to add. Like, I'm really not the super, like, most talkative person. Like, I'm one of those introvert people that just, like, get me away from the public's eye. I don't want to see you people.
Right. So. Right. There's a reason you're behind the scenes a lot of stuff, is because you don't want that recognition. And here I am dragging you out. Like, let's heap praise on Amerith.
I don't mind it every once in a bit. It's fun. It's just, I'm not the kind of person that could just, like, be up there every day, like, hey, you know, we're doing this. I can't be the forefront person, really. Like,
yeah, I try to be sometimes. If you're in a band, you are not the lead singer. You're not the front man. You're the drummer in the back, making sure that everything is steady. Because you definitely you steadied the ship for sure in times of distress when we were running the league together. So I thank you for that. But thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad you had me on. Like this was a fun thing that I got to do. That, you know, just sit here and chat for a little bit about like the history of this weird cat. All
right, thanks, Amaret. I was really excited when I asked Amaret to do the show and she agreed. I'm just gonna gush over how awesome she is because of who she is. She's just an amazing person. Even if she didn't selfishly give her time and her energy to everything that she does for everyone else so that everyone else could benefit, she is still an amazing person despite all of that she gives. The time on the council, the time as the admin of the league and the Restream person over there and helping people with the Go Mode Mentor Tournament and stuff. She's just amazing. So I'm glad she agreed to be on the show, and I'm glad we got to spend some time talking and delving into her past a little bit as well. So we're winding down on the season. Episode number 11 is going to be next Monday. We've got Magnet Hands on the show. Let me tell you, you're not prepared for this conversation, because I wasn't prepared for this conversation. I didn't know Magnet too well. I've watched him on his streams. He's pretty new to the community. But getting to know Magnet has been a huge pleasure, and one of the benefits of doing this podcast is because he's such a great guy, and I didn't know all the stuff about his history and who he is. And I love that Magnet isn't afraid to share who he is and what he's going through and struggling with, and we get into it. So prepare yourself for next week, because it's an excellent conversation, and I love talking with Magnet. We'll end the season in 2 weeks with Solsky. We'll take a little bit of break, and then we'll be back for season two, already lining up a bunch of guests. I hope to have the entire guest list ready for you all by the end of season one. Got a couple more confirmations I need to do. But I can't thank you all enough for being a part of the show. If you can, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Join our Discord. 216pod.com has a link to our Discord. I'm doing restreams. Again, I've got that open door policy. So if you ever see me doing a restream and I'm alone in the booth, just jump in that green room and I'll drag you in. Well, again, the only requirement is don't be an asshole. and there's no assholes over at 216pod.com in the Discord. So don't have to worry about that. Thank you all so much for hanging out on my stream, for the subs, for the follows, for listening to the show, for subscribing to the show. I can't thank you all enough. Like, everything is just awesome right now, and you're really helping me enjoy being a part of this community and enjoying this game, and I can't thank you all enough. So thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.